Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and it's Thursday, and this is The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. Tonight we have a guest with us, Diana Burney, who's in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and she does some wonderful things over there. She's a healer and so much more. We'll get into that after we play a little tune to bring us into tonight's show. So, from the beginning.
You stop it out.
Is Diana Burney, and she does an amazing thing for folks. She's a consort, someone who can help you to release the negative energies and spiritually cleanse. And, you know, Diana, I think about it and I wonder sometimes, you're much like the ancient shaman and the modern day, the fascination with exercising the negativity or the darkness. But you do a really wonderful thing with the person helping you by spiritually cleansing and bringing a whole new energy anchor for them to hold on to. Am I right with that?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't do it myself. I work with Ascended Masters and the Seven Archangels. Well, actually the 12 Archangels. And the work is done actually on another dimension. So I'm kind of the focal point for the Earth Link.
Okay.
To anchor it here on Earth so the work can get done. Because of free will, they can't come in and help people without being asked.
Gotcha. Well, maybe you can give us a nice description of, because it sounds like quite an adventure. Maybe you can give us a description of exactly what you do and how people come to you and find help and clearing and accelerated evolution.
Well, that's the purpose. I'm hoping that people move on to their next level. Yes, because people do get stuck. I've been there. I'm sure other people have. I started this in 1992, and at the time I was living in Sedona, Arizona. I lived there for 4 years, and I had a hypnotherapy practice. And there were a lot of mixed energies there. And so that was my on-the-job training. It started there. And over a 12-year period or so, I started making a list of all the different types of energies I was removing from myself and how I did it and who helped me. And then it eventually grew into a 2-hour process.
Wow.
But I do use a pendulum. So that's... I am not psychic. Well, I probably am psychic, but I am not clairvoyant and I'm not clairaudient. So I use a pendulum, and the gift that I was presented with was claircognizance, which is a nice gift, but I was a nurse for a lot of years, and that's a scientific background. So I pretty much struggled with what that was all about, if it was truth or not. You know how we get.
Sure.
How did you receive? Maybe you can tell us a little bit how you received your confirmation with that.
Trust, it's called. I just started paying more attention, and I found a lot of times when I didn't pay attention, I wish I had. I would have done that. So I think my intuition developed from that point. So over the course of all these years, and I'll be starting my 22nd year in October, I've gotten it down to a routine. I do teach it. I just came from the Washington, D.C. area over Memorial Day, and I taught an intensive there so people can learn how to clear other people. But I do have a book out called Spiritual Clearings, and it does help people lift away some negative energies from their home and themselves on their own. I wanted to present self-empowerment to people because they're feeling pretty beat up sometimes.
Mm. And I have a question for you on the threshold of, well, with all of the different magnetic, solar, cosmic shifts going on right now, especially since the winter solstice of last year, has it factored in at all to your practice or what you're experiencing as the healer and as a teacher? How is it affecting your journey right now, what you do?
Well, you have a lot of questions nested in that question. The main point, I think, Nicole, is that I have to keep myself grounded. And you're talking about ascension symptoms, or what's labeled ascension symptoms. And there are a lot of energies coming in, and I have quite a spiritual routine I go through before I even get out of bed. And then I pretty much stay anchored most of the day, and I do a lot of clearings on myself. In fact, I did a clearing on myself every Sunday for 17 years, and I kept finding things. So when I do a clearing on someone, it's like peeling one layer off an onion. So, you know, we have lots of layers. But the intense energies that are coming do cause people to call me more frequently because they're feeling things that they hadn't felt before. They're having dreams that are different. And some of them get really scared. So fear is probably a big proponent that's coming in with people, anxiety and fear. Have you noticed that at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have you, are these people, I mean, I don't know what the ratio is, or, yeah, but is the people that are feeling these things, these fears and the different dreams, are they like regular, you know, go into a 9-to-5 job people, or are these all like spiritual, not that 9-to-5 people can't be spiritual, but you know what I mean, like people that are really in it. What's the ratio there?
Oh, geez.
Good question.
There's a lot of people.
Or is it everybody?
I think it's everybody. I don't see a big demarcation of people. There are a lot of spiritual people and a lot of healers that don't have the income coming in and do have to take other jobs. So there's a lot of levels. Now,
sure.
The people that are healers are struggling, are struggling the most because they seem to be the most sensitive of the energies coming in. And so I would say they're having more intensity. But it is waking up everybody on every level.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Very interesting. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Did I answer your questions, Nicole?
I'm Nicole. And
I'm sorry.
Glenn.
I got you reversed.
That's all right. names. But, I mean, you answered mine. I know Glenn's question was bigger. So.
I mean, I'm just, we almost every guest that we have on lately is talking about, we had Tom Lesher on week before last who does the Pele report, the Kaipatcha astrology reports on his site and on YouTube, and he has these wonderful healing festivals that are being actually live streamed now through Ustream, which is wonderful. This technology is our planetary consciousness made manifest. And he's talked about all of the wonderful, I mean, there's a lot of change and waking up and addressing what we've, you know, either buried collectively or individually through incarnations. He talks about the constellation families and all of that, which is a positive way of dealing with past life issues, I think, very positive way. I think there's always a warp and a woof. So I'm wondering, my question was based in what was the warp and woof of positive, negative in the clearing and the energy that you're moving these days with. I've read on the on your site where you do not just people, but something I do myself is property or house cleansings or environmental cleansings.
And lots of animals.
I do that with my own pup, but I don't, you know, I haven't got practice in that. And maybe you could talk to us a little bit right now about how what an environment is like that you go into to cleanse.
Well, here's the good part. Everything I do is done remotely. So I am never with anybody one-on-one in an office, or I don't physically go to the site. There have been times I've gone to the site, like in my book I talk about clearing the Versace mansion. Well, I actually had gone, I was in my North Miami Beach or wherever it was in Miami, and I was on the outside of the building, and it was creepy as heck then. But usually I don't have to physically go. Now, the people that call me, I ask them certain questions, and one of the main questions is I ask them, is there any room in the home they avoid? And that's always interesting. And then the second question is I ask if the cat doesn't go in certain rooms. Mm. And that gives me a lot of information right then.
Wow. That's cool.
So people tell me what they're experiencing, and I have a sense of what the house feels like, you know, but I don't have to physically go and be there. So that's why the technique has been really nice. It's opened up, you know, the global perspective now. I get all sorts of clearings from other countries, and it's, again, the Internet, you know.
Yeah.
There's more access to this kind of information.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So What is the clearing that you do on yourself? You said every Sunday, as opposed to, you know, clearings on spaces.
Well, I was saying that every clearing was akin to peeling one layer off an onion. I just want to get rid of a lot of layers.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, to be honest, I am kind of under siege sometimes. So I have to keep myself protected. So it's kind of, there can be a battle mode to what I do from my perspective, not from anybody else's.
Can you elaborate on that to explain a little bit more what battle mode would be?
Well, it's a bit like, you know, the more light there is, the more the darkness gets darker and tries to smother the light. It's what we're all experiencing. It's just that then I am assisting people to go to the light or get lighter, and that can cause some repercussions to me personally at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bringing the light into these places, right?
Yeah.
And into these energies.
And into the people.
A battlefield, right. Wow.
Like a lot of times I'll do service. I did a lot of service for Hurricane Sandy and what's the name of the school, the Sandy Point? What was the name of the children?
Sandy Hook.
Yeah, Sandy Hook. And I go in and I do clearings and release all the trapped souls there. And I do a lot of work on public places, airports sometimes. Just the way I do service. So it's a business, but it's also my life's work.
When you do an airport or a public place like that, does someone approach you to do that as taking on a client, or is that doing service after, you know where I'm coming from?
No, it's not a paid thing at all. It's just from my heart.
There you go.
Like clearing animal shelters and I mean, I could spend all day doing that, but
that's got to be difficult. that's an amazing thing. So where is guidance that comes to and says, you know, okay, we're working a service today, and so we would like to focus on, you know, Logan Airport. How does that occur?
Okay, so I don't have It's something I might read in a book, or I might open my People magazine and see something, or it's just a knowing that I should do that. It's not an immediate thing, but it's just something that I know I should do that. Now, that I have to get permission from the universe to be able to do that. I can't just go out and change karma, but... So I do when I do a clearing for a person, even if they ask me for the clearing, I still have to get permission from their higher self, and I still have to get permission from the universe, because perhaps there's lessons that they've contracted to do, and I would come in and, you know, mess up the contract basically.
Okay, that makes every bit of sense. That makes every bit of sense.
So I'm not just doing this on a Diana Burney mission. It's just something that comes to me in some obtuse way that I probably can't even explain. Or I hear somebody say something three times about a place.
Yeah.
Because I'm really tuned into the power of three. And
yeah.
If someone says something, or I get an email and then, I get a phone call and then I go, well, I got to look at that.
Yeah. I feel the same way about the power of three. That's interesting. I know everybody's got their number that they resonate with, you know, more. But
a lot of us forget about the power of one. You know, we can make a difference by changing our thinking, and it changes the vibrations that we send out to everyone around us. And, you know, playing it forward, all those things, random acts of kindness, that's the power of one. But somehow we're not tuning in to that these days, you know. We're all in crisis mode, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's
I have to say I've seen some paying it forward and some positive stuff. That's what I was saying earlier. I see a warp and a woof. When I'll go through a short period of time, like either a couple of days or even maybe a few really bad hours. And then all of a sudden the sun comes out, like after a storm has passed, and the positive comes up. And I see wonderful acts of kindness. I hear about it. Somebody from the past calls, has something nice to relate, or just lifts me up. Or I observe it going on around me and my world. And so... I've seen a warp and a woof, but it's taken me a while to get there. I will say that.
I was going to say, that's because you're paying attention.
I'm looking.
You're not so self-involved. You know, you're looking through the outer vision, and you're seeing the greater picture.
And I think that
does take time to get to that.
Well, I do know that folks. I'm blessed with good counsel, too, good reflection. I mean, one of my mirrors is my co-host, Nicole, and we talk, you know, over Skype. We talk face-to-face, even though we're, 1,000 miles apart, Nick?
Yeah.
So I have a couple of very good friends who are following a spiritual path that are in my community, as you might say, that... I can reflect back and forth with. And also, I think it's about getting older and defining your path and purpose and seeing just as you trust your process with where you're supposed to do your work or focus it. I think we're all getting, you're quite right about the ascension symptoms. But I think, too, that these ascension symptoms are almost fine-tuning calibers for all of the stuff we've been learning for the last 20 years, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, you don't know, but I'm going to be 69 next month. So I do think I've reached where I have wisdom finally. But I'm not going to tell you it wasn't an uphill climb.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I know that most of us, I find that most of the majority of people that I know within the spiritual community have moved around quite a bit, or just moved back and from one place to another, maybe not as much, but they have done a lot of moving around. And I know that you've been moving for the last 20 years, which is, you know, that's a very traumatic event, moving.
It is. It's very hard to go establish yourself, you know, in a whole different energy and different environment, energy and environment both.
What used to be a great adventure for me, but for the last 10 years, it's been like, oh, I can't believe this. I was going to ask you, though, about Ann Arbor, because for me, when I've been through there, it was a really beautiful place, and I was wondering how you were vibing with it.
Well, it was a very difficult transition. I moved from Ashland, Oregon, which is 25 miles from California.
Yes,
and,
I'm familiar with Ashland.
Pardon me?
I'm familiar with Ashland.
It was really nice, but I was drawn to move back home because of a granddaughter. I had a 3-year-old granddaughter here in Ann Arbor, and I felt like I needed to rescue her from her yuppie parents. So I moved across the country, and of course she didn't need my help at all, but she's healing my heart, and we're very close. I ended up here because of family. I don't like the Michigan weather at all. They're bitter winters, and there's very little sun. It's Michigan's the third worst state for seasonal affective depression because of the gray area, and I'm very prone to that. So then I moved, you know, I'm not that far from Detroit, which was going through all the stuff it went through financially. So it felt like I hit a brick wall going 90 miles an hour.
Wow.
Because in Ashland, everybody meditates, and it's just a whole different vibe. Yeah. It's the Lemurian Corridor.
You're right. When you cross the Continental Divide, especially if you're in a car in this country and you're traveling, you can feel the difference in energy from Atlantean to Lemurian.
Wow. I never was in a car. I always do the plane.
Asa and I did a medicine wheel once the whole country, and oh my goodness, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. You know, I'm thinking about it, and moving and all that. And Diana, the first time I ever spoke with you was I can see myself sitting in the back office of the old Daughters of Isis shop, and you and your business partner called, and we spoke for quite a while. And I think you were living somewhere near Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, I was in Gainesville for 4 years, and then I moved to Jacksonville for 2 years.
You have done quite a circle yourself of the country.
Well, kind of. I started in Ohio and then moved to Arizona, and then I went to Florida, and then I went to Oregon, and then I've been in Michigan now 7 years. I'm not planning to move, although I would really like to go to a warmer climate, but I don't know.
Tucson is
That's such an incredible, five-pointalism, like a star that you've done across the continent. And
I know. I didn't know anybody in any of those places.
Whoa.
Well, no, I mean, I knew Michigan. I knew someone in Michigan.
Right. But talk about moving your energy through this country, as well as moving your energy through the world, maybe not physically, but still energy. That's such a wonderful story of light into the darkness.
Well, thank you. I hope I accomplished something.
Yeah, for sure.
Diana, I have to ask you, you were out in Ashland. Did you ever listen to or talk with Jose Arguelles while he was still living.
No, I don't know if I was there when he was there. Has he been there a long time?
He was there for quite, he traveled a great deal all over the world. That was his base camp for quite a while.
Well, there's lots of authors and musicians and Buddhist teachers, Gangaji, and a lot of people have moved there, Gene Houston, but you don't ever see them because that's just, like you said, it's their home base and they're always out traveling.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He might have been there. I never went to an event that I saw his name on, although when people had events, I tried to go to them because they had a lot in Mount Shasta, too, which was about 45 minutes away.
Right. I remember that. It was a very short drive. I really admire and like Jean Houston, too. That's another one. Her social artistry is phenomenal. I wanted to ask not only about living in Michigan and being there, but I was wondering, do you feel, we spoke about it with Lemurian and Atlantean energies, but do you feel any kind of geophysical shifting going on? If you've been traveling around so much, it's a question I like to ask people who have some sensitivity, whether or not they feel that there's a shifting of the Earth itself in a subtle way. Do you follow where I'm coming from?
Yes, I don't think I have. I don't think I wouldn't be able to know that. I feel more grounded easier in certain places, but I don't know what that's attributed to.
I'm wondering about your connection to the consciousness of the planet and the intimacy with the planet and its health, whether or not you connect with that.
Unfortunately, I connect with the turbulence,
okay.
You know, and try to assuage that. So, I guess I'm more of a crisis management person.
Tell me, how does that feel when you feel the turbulence? Because I kind of feel like I do the same thing, and I don't know if it's planetary or what my deal is. So. Can you give a little bit of an example how that feels?
Well, it's more a restlessness. I don't get fearful and I don't get anxious. So if something like that gets into my space, I know that there's something outside causing it, or maybe I have to get up my protection and chanting. So I kind of feel a restlessness is more how I feel it, or it really gets me with my sleep patterns. I think that's where I notice it the most. Mm. How does it affect you?
It's these waves of sometimes really feeling like I'm not on the planet, and it's like my brain, my physical brain, is like overridden by like a big tidal wave sometimes. And
I've heard that brain wobble, it's called.
Brain wobble, yes, absolutely. and I found in the last few months, between the weather changes that we've had so much, with the cycles, like when it rains, I feel this same kind of a rain feeling. And the more I feel it, I learn a little bit more about how to ground and how to go with it. And then the sun, it's a totally different energy. And then, like, my cycle is also now timed with the moon and with the eclipses.
Oh,
yeah. So it's, And then sometimes it is an anxiousness or a I feel something that I don't think is mine, and it feels extremely general, like it's not even coming from the person. That's the mm-hmm. other thing.
I know nausea is really big. A lot of people are having extreme nausea and waves of nausea, and the dizziness is really bothering a lot of people.
Yeah, I've been having that too lately. Wow, that is so helpful.
I get a lot of body work, though. See, I spend a lot of time trying to stay in my body to do this work. So I get acupuncture, I get cranial sacral work, I get chiropractic, I get massages. You know, I have a lot of help to stay in my body.
Yeah.
That's an excellent path for anybody to follow right now, having the body work done. My sister just got her license for acupuncture, and she's working today here at the house.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of her. You know, it's like going through medical school. She can prescribe herbal, you know, complements.
So she's a doctor of oriental medicine?
Yeah.
Too?
Chinese medicine, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Traditional Chinese medicine.
Uh-huh.
She does wonderful things. I mean, when it's getting her locked down to work on me, but when she does, I mean, she's done so much for me
as far as physical
health.
I wish I had a sister that did that.
I wanted to ask you, Diana, is there any way that you can relate to us the dynamic of how you clear? I mean, do you use visualization? People are always interested so that they can, you know, it gives people more tools to work themselves when we share, and I was hoping that maybe...
Sure, I'll do that. Well, basically, it's a two-hour process to do a clearing for a person, and I spend about 40 minutes, or at least a half hour to 40 minutes, saying prayers and chants so I can get my vibrations elevated. And I say a lot of traditional chants like Om Mani Padme Hum and Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sabaoth, and I say the Lord's Prayer. It's a whole series of things that kind of builds up in layers. And then after I get to a certain level, then I put protection around myself, and then I have a list of 100 different types of negative energies I've compiled. And then I get permission to do the clearing, and then I go through my list with my pendulum, and I get what's there and what isn't. And then whatever's there, then it has to systematically be removed. Sometimes they need colors. Sometimes they need an outside group coming in to do it. And then after everything's cleared, then I believe that there's a psychic door at the back of our head, and it's supposed to be closed at all times. And when people go through traumas, whether it's emotional or physical, the psychic door pops open, and then people have a lot of energies that come in and out of their energy field, and they have mood swings, and they can be depressed. And if they go to a hospital or a cemetery or a funeral parlor, for instance, or a bar, they can pick up hitchhikers, and this can cause them to have different feelings that aren't theirs, like anxiety, fear, depression, or cravings. So after that, everything's been cleared, then the psychic door gets closed, and then the chakras get aligned and cleansed and purified, and then any vows people have made in other lifetimes or this lifetime that is not for their highest and greatest good get revoked. And then there's a clearing of the auric field and a fortifying of the auric field, and that's pretty much it. And then they have protection put around them.
That's pretty much a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
why it
thorough.
Takes 2 hours.
Wow.
If I had someone very... chatting in front of me all the time asking me what I was doing, it'd probably take 8 hours, you know.
Wow.
And very scientific in approach, I have to say. I mean, being a scientist's daughter and a scientist myself, you can see these. You know, it's very systematic, like you said, as you go through and everything gets taken care of.
It's like a build-up,
full
yeah.
car wash, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Detailing, buffing.
I call it a spiritual rotor-rooter.
That sounds extraordinarily challenging to be a part of. That's good.
So the interesting thing about it is the clearings take place on the etheric level of the auric field, and that, as most people know, is an inch above the physical body.
Yeah.
And so it takes 72 hours after the clearing before people feel the changes physically. And sometimes they feel exhausted, and sometimes they feel like they're getting the flu, you know, like a healing crisis.
Yes.
So that's when they start releasing toxic emotions from the cellular level.
Uh-oh.
And they just need to drink more water and rest like any other time. It's you know, people don't have a hard time with it, really. And
mm-hmm.
As long as they know it's coming, if it does. Now, then eventually they feel lighter, but sometimes they have to go through a little sludge. The clearing goes on for a couple months after I actually do it. So during their sleep state, they're still doing a lot of clearings, and they have dreams of the nun in second grade or the bully on the playground or... You know,
wow.
A lot of things come up at night in their dreams, if they remember them. Not everybody does.
Processing and clearing, huh?
Yeah, pardon me?
Processing and clearing.
Oh, yeah, processing, uh-huh, for sure.
Oh, wow. It sounds like I've heard there was... a gentleman in South Florida who used to work along the same lines. And this man was I really enjoyed it. Every time I sat down and spoke with him, he was a member of the Theosophical Society.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of similarness between the two of you.
Well, I kind of tap into that. Yeah, I use violet fire a lot.
Gotcha.
And, the seven rays, yeah. There's I probably have been trained a lot in that on my own.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that people experience changes in their life after these kinds of energy clearings. Yeah.
Well, they do, but that's because they've changed their filter on how they look
right.
at things too. You know.
And where they're at, right?
Uh-huh.
They're lighter. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be tired of where you are before you can change, and then you have to be aware that you're tired.
Right.
Because if you're not aware, you're just going to keep on keeping on, right?
Right, sure. You don't fix it unless it's broke.
Yeah, exactly.
What are some of the examples of things that have happened? Do you get some feedback from the people? What has happened?
Oh, yeah. I always get feedback. Well, people move a lot,
wow.
change jobs a lot. Sometimes they get new awarenesses, you know, like they'll be clairvoyant.
Oh.
That doesn't happen frequently, but that has happened. I would just say that people feel lighter. They feel like their heart is not as heavy. They have more direction. I think clarity is probably the biggest thing that people receive.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's been my experience when I've had cleansings. Like I got one from Asa. I don't know if you know Asa, our good friend. But that's definitely the feeling. And it does take a few days. And then I did a pranayama heart. I forget what it's called, but this whole... cleansing that way, and it definitely, clarity is definitely the word. And it's a gradual process.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. That was the pranayama. Was that just a breathing cleansing?
It was breathing, and it was also like with Christ consciousness, and there's a symbol. The heart, I think it's from Derek O'Neill. You know Derek O'Neill?
No.
Well, to me, it was a whole. It was opening up. Yeah, the heart chakra and mm-hmm. and. Releasing a lot of the old energies. That's what happened with me, and a connection with a higher, with like understanding a little more of where the higher spiritual plane is. That's mm-hmm. what happened for me. See, and I could spend more time there.
Sure, and they work on the high heart a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, there's lots of techniques. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but yours sounds so thorough. I just love the hitting on all the points, you know, everything that you could think of and things that I wouldn't have thought of, you know, to even think to do. It's great, really great.
Well, in the book, there's a in the very front of the book, it's a little small book. I think it's 160 pages, but it tells people how to do it yourself clearing, and it walks you through. Not as advanced as I do, but enough that people could do it without using a pendulum. And the script is there. They just read the script. And they can clear themselves and they can clear their homes. They can't clear somebody else because that gets involved with the permissions. So they have to take advanced courses for that. But it's a nice maintenance. I think I have 53 positive reports on Amazon for the book. So a lot of people are finding it helpful, you know, on a one-on-one basis. It's called Spiritual Clearings.
And they can find that on Amazon?
Pardon me?
And they can find that on Amazon.com.
Yes, Barnes & Noble and Amazon, for sure. I don't know, some bookstores have it. It's been out since 2009, so it's not a recent book. But people are just now finding it.
nice.
Can you share with us, Diana, can you share with us some of the larger places and public spots that you've been drawn to do cleansings on?
Sure. Memorial Day weekend, I did the Dulles Airport. And then... in September, I did the Holocaust Museum, and that's not so large, but it ended up being large because it traced to all the people involved.
Yeah.
And then, let me see, I've done Arlington Cemetery.
You cleansed Arlington Cemetery?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I did the Vietnam War Memorial. Let me see, what else? The Potomac River. I've cleared several rivers.
Mm-hmm. Interesting you use the word battle, because all of these, so many of these are things that have to do with wars. And isn't that exactly what needs to cleanse right now?
Well, that's true. But there are also trapped souls attached to all these areas that are clinging. Some are earthbound. So it's also releasing them to be reunited with Source. So it has a lot of layers to it, yeah, for sure.
How about the Gulf of Mexico?
I've never done that, but I have cleared the Yucatan Peninsula. That was rough. With all the sacrifices and everything. I've cleared a lot of places like in Hawaii. Well, everywhere I go, I have to clear it before I can stay there. So I can't even keep track of the big places I've cleared. I've cleared some nursing homes. I've cleared a couple schools. Now, those were contracted. I've cleared some hospitals on my own.
What is that like, the hospital?
It's very, very labor intensive because there's several floors and each hospital room has two patients in it, and there's surgical suites. There's a lot of sudden deaths where people get trapped between dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just need to move on. It just takes a long time. I just have to allow for time. So when I do service, it's not like a daily thing.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And mm-hmm. also holding this energy for 3 hours, it is very exhausting mentally.
Mm, I'm sure.
Because I'm not exactly in a monk status, you know, that I can hold those those higher elevations for, I mean, maybe not in this lifetime anyhow. For
Right. Wow.
But it is hard. I can get tired. But I do have to pace myself because, you know, I am up there. I'm getting up there. But I don't feel it. But, you know, chronologically, I just do take more time that I don't do a lot of other things when after I've spent a lot of time for 3 hours or 4 hours in that kind of mindset.
You have a very vivacious voice. It belays your age.
Well, thank you. That's good to know.
Yeah, that's true. I had one question before. I know we're coming to the end of the show, but I saw the soul retrievals. What is that about?
Well, that is that's an interesting concept that is from a shamanic origin. When I lived in Sedona, Arizona, I decided I wanted to bring my soul parts back because I felt like I was missing part of me. And I read all the books, Sandra Ingerman, and I can't remember the other guy. There's another guy that she taught with. And I didn't feel like I could be a shaman. I don't know. It just didn't resonate with me. I was a hypnotherapist at the time, and I didn't see like I could lay people on the floor next to me and use a rattle and journey. So I made up this other process working with the angels. And unfortunately, I brought back 8 soul fragments to myself, but I brought them back with their original trauma because I didn't know not to do that. And so that was a very bad lesson. I felt like I had a nervous breakdown. I didn't, but I was very disoriented for a number of days. Mm. And so anyhow, I perfected this technique, and I just started teaching it again. I taught it over Memorial Day, and I'm going to be teaching it in Lilydale, New York in September. But I just feel like a lot of people feel like something's missing in that, and from this lifetime or another, and we need to have all our parts back to really function.
Yeah. Oh, so cool.
That would be something to talk about on another show, because I know soul retrieval attracts the attention of a lot of folks. The wonderment, and also, as you say, we're going through all these ascension symptoms. Soul retrieval would be something that would be an asset once you clear and bring back all of your gifts, you know,
mm-hmm.
awareness and something that resonates from each life through the soul, mm-hmm. to establish the kind of strength that right now we can really use to anchor in
sure.
the
energy.
Diana, let people know where they can find out about the Lilydale and all of what you have to offer. You do have a website.
I do. Mm-hmm. It's called Earth Release, like the planet Earth, and release, like letting go, .com. I'm starting a new website, but it's not going to be done until probably late summer. So right now, on the front page of my homepage of Earth Release, it tells about the next workshop. And it's also in a webinar mode, so people who live in different parts can attend it by just being on a webinar.
Really? Let me be a little more specific with that, because that's something I would like to say.
Oh, well, it's September 15th, 16th, and 17th, and one day is the soul retrieval, I think the 17th. So you can just tune into that part, and you sign up online, or online it takes you to the Lily Dale website to register.
Okay. That's really great information. And for people who are interested in getting in touch with you to talk about soul retrieval or clearings, is there a phone number?
Sure, there is. Thank you for asking. Yeah, it's 734-786-6588.
Great. Really glad that information.
And on my website, I have an e-book for $5 that has a whole bunch of spiritual exercises for spiritual growth that people might want to download.
Cool.
Good to know. Like I said, I would really like to have you back so we can talk specifically about soul retrieval. I love people.
Sure.
This
was fun. Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, you're most welcome. Glad to have you. And it's been interesting. I'm really drawn to your clearing, your service work. That's pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, how do you get a chance to sit home in your pajamas and clear Yellowstone Park? I mean, you know, it's pretty cool.
Listen, I sit at a bench at home most of the day, and I get to think, I'm working with light most of the time. I'm focused, but when I take a break, I it's a wonderful job. It really
yes.
is. So I understand what you mean. Yeah. Okay. I want to thank you so much for being with us, Diana, and sharing everything tonight.
Thank you. God bless to both of you.
Yeah. Thank you. Great information.
Next week, I'm not sure who we've got scheduled, but the week after that, tentatively, we have Mr. Brinkley coming back or coming on, the original near-death experience there. That would be a good show, too. And he has a lot to talk about. He has a brand new book out and a lot more vision to reveal. So, that's going to be a good show, Danny and Brinkley. And we're looking for, I just want to put it out there, if any of our listeners have folks that they would really like to hear, hey, drop me an email. I'll give them a ring and shoot them an email or whatever. Facebook them so that we might find some folks that are willing to come on and share and we all grow through the process. Diana, thanks so much for coming on once more.
Thank you. All right. Yeah. God bless. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And Nick, thanks so much for being here again, too.
Yeah. Great show once again.
Yeah, thank you. Like I said, thank you for being here. Have you got any announcements?
Not yet. Next time.
Okay. Please remember that we are sponsored by the I Love Nicole Show and daughtersofisis.com, where you can find the fragrant and vibrational memories of our ancestors. Go on over and check out our oils, essences, and mists. We have some tea light and votive candles and incense and a lot of really wonderful things to get in touch with your inner authority, your inner shield of healing, and the medicine person waiting to express themselves through you. And I guess that's it for this evening. Nick, thanks.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.